Happy Mom Day. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Today's podcast is very near and dear to my heart. I wanted to do something on the podcast for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. For those of you that don't know, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and breast cancer is something that affects my family. And, you know, we have someone in my family who is currently on treatment for breast cancer, and I am a female. So, you know, breast cancer obviously is something on my radar every month when I do my breast exams. For those of you that don't know, I also work full-time at a cancer center. So I do tons of work with oncology patients, lots of work in the breast cancer realm. So I also, like, just professionally am very passionate about this topic in any way, shape, or form. So I asked one of our medical oncologists to come on the podcast today to give us the factual information on breast cancer. So I have on Dr. Kumar Tyagi on the podcast, and we are talking about risk factors. We're talking about breast exams. We're talking about breast cancer research. We're talking about mammograms. Can you have one when you're under the age of 50? And if so, how do you get one? She is giving us the facts. They're very simplified and very, very easy to follow. Sometimes I find when you talk to some doctors or when you're Googling, like, something seems so complicated. So yeah, let's welcome Dr. Kumar Tyagi to the Honest as a Mother podcast. Hey, welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Today on the podcast, I am joined by, do you want me to call you Dr. Kumar, or do you want me to call you Nitty Kumar? Like, how do you want me to refer to you? Because I feel like I should be professional, but not.
Yeah. So my full name is Dr. Nidhi Kumar Tyagi, but you can call me Nidhi. That's totally fine.
No, Mike, I know we're on a first name basis here, but you know.
No.
So I asked Nidhi to come on the podcast because October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and Nidhi is a oncologist at the Jerzynski Cancer Center. So we actually work together. And I thought it would be a great opportunity to have her on and talk about Breast Cancer Awareness Month, because it's obviously super important. And majority of my listeners are women and mothers. So I just feel like, you know, we're always worrying about these things. And so if I had you on and we can talk factual information, then maybe that will help ease some people's minds.
Thanks so much, Amanda, for having me on. I'm really excited about this topic, and
me too.
Happy to help with any information. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. I mean, because, you know, like, you can get on Google and you're dead. Like, you're dead in 3 seconds.
Absolutely. There's so much information out there, and, you know, sometimes even misinformation or true information, but it's really hard to know how to apply that to yourself or to your loved ones. So context is so important.
Yeah. For sure. Well, okay. So where I would love to start is, we know that, like, awful, scary statistic of 1 in 8 women. I'm not sure if this is a Canadian statistic or if it's just, I'm not sure if you know that, but so we know that 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer. And I know that you hear all of these things about risk factors. So my first question would be, are there actually risk factors to breast cancer, or is it just, like, you know, one of these fluke things that happens to some women and doesn't happen to some? And if so, do we know what those risks actually are?
Yeah, great question. So, I mean, to your first question, 1 in 8 women is a Canadian statistic. Within that, when we think about 1 in 8 women that are diagnosed with breast cancer, it is at various stages of breast cancer as well. So that's very important to know. And with our, you know, increased screening that we have in Ontario, the province that we're in, and, you know, throughout Canada, a lot of breast cancers are being found at earlier stages, and that's excellent news for that patient. When we talk about risk factors for breast cancer, yes, there are some risk factors that have been associated with a higher risk, and those risk factors include you know, things that we can't change. And then there's things that would be defined as modifiable as well. So things that we can't change is age. As we get older, our risk of cancer increases as we get older. Other things that we can't change is our own family history as well. So if we have relatives, specifically first degree relatives, so that's like your mother, your aunt, you know, your first cousin, things like that. Those are risk. If a first degree relative has been diagnosed with breast cancer, unfortunately, that would also increase your own personal risk of breast cancer as well. So that comes to, you know, where we want to really understand what our family history is and talking to your family about, you know, what is our family history? What are the things that I should be aware of so I understand my own risk as well? There's other things like previous radiation to the chest. So if you had other types of cancer, then that will also increase your risk. And hopefully that's already been identified and you're already part of a screening program that will pick up breast cancers earlier because a person does have this risk. Other things are what we often hear about in the news or on the internet is this genetic predisposition. So within your cells, something that may have been inherited through your family and through your father's side or your mother's side. And those are changes within our own genes that unfortunately make a person more vulnerable to, say, breast cancer and to other cancers. So I think probably the most common or most popular type of genetic predisposition is this BRCA 1 and 2 gene, where, you know, most famously it's Angelina Jolie who had this genetic predisposition. When we actually see, you know, how many breast cancers do we actually see that are due to this genetic predisposition, it's a small portion. It's 5 to 10%. So we know that there's these other breast cancers that aren't related to these genetic changes. And that's where the other risk factors come into play. I think there are, you know, we also hear a lot about, you know, lifestyle factors that may influence cancer risk. Specifically for breast cancer, they're generally the same lifestyle risk factors that we can think of for, say, heart disease or other types of cancer as well. So those are things like alcohol and smoking. Unfortunately, they can also increase your risk of breast cancer. Low levels of physical activity have been associated with a higher risk of breast cancer and other cancers as well. And then given the way that breast cancer does develop, it's related to your exposure, a woman's exposure to estrogen or a person's exposure to estrogen. And if someone has a long-term exposure to estrogen, so that's having an early period and then a late menopause, you have many, many years of estrogen exposure, there has been some association with increased breast cancer risk. And then also specifically for women who have already undergone menopause and may have been on hormone replacement treatment, there's good data to say if you've been on that treatment for more than 5 years, your risk of breast cancer will increase as well because you are taking estrogen by mouth and bringing it back into your body and then exposing those breast cells to the estrogen and potentially helping them to change into a breast cancer. So those are some of the risk factors that have been associated with breast cancer. There's lots of data and studies about that, and again, all over the internet as well. And I guess it's really important to understand that the way that research is done is looking at associations. It's not a cause. It's not to say that you know, I drink alcohol, I will get breast cancer. It's not a direct cause. It's an association. So that's also right. Really important to understand, or even talk with your, you know, any family doctor or doctor to help understand what that actually means for you and your own personal risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would make sense because it's like, you know, you hear all the time, like people who smoke or drink like their whole life and then they live to be like 105 or something, right? So I guess it would depend on each individual human being. So it's really hard to say,
yeah,
if you drink, you're going to get cancer. And if you don't drink, you won't. Like, you can't say that.
You can't say that. Well, yeah, absolutely. And I think what we can say is that, is there a risk, or is there a higher risk than, say, someone who is not doing those things or doesn't have those risk factors? Yes, it can be said, but what is that actual risk for that you as an individual? It's very hard to say. I think you mentioned, like, is it just bad luck? Unfortunately, it is a bit of that as well. Mm-hmm. You know, there's an element of bad luck as well, but there are certain risk factors that can be modified if that's something you feel you can do. Yeah.
Okay. No.
Want to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Or want to do. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. That's really good to know. Something else I wanted to ask you about is breast exams, because you see this everywhere, how to do it, when you should do it. Okay, one question that I just had for you out of my own personal curiosity, but is it true not to do a breast exam before your period? Because you hear things like your breast tissue is lumpier or ropier, or I don't know, I've heard all these like funky terms in regards to breast tissue before your period. So is that true?
I think it can be said to be true. Yes, certain women's, again, certain person's breasts can be changed right before their menstrual cycle. So either, you know, using the words like lumpy, ropier, tender, you may then also notice something there that you might not notice when you were not on right before your period.
Right.
So I think it is generally thought, like, at that time, there are so many different hormone levels that are up and down during that time, that it's probably not the best time to find something that may be persistent. You could find something that is transient and then it goes away after you have your period. So when we talk about breast exams, you know, there have been studies to show regular breast exams may not pick up microscopic cancers. So there's even millimetric cancers, because again, there's unfortunately no way that our fingers can feel microscopic cancers or millimetric cancers. So that's where screening with mammograms is very important. But a breast exam can be very helpful, especially for women who are under the age of, for screening. So in Ontario, it's the age of 50. Breast exam can be useful just to understand what your normal is, just to know your body in general, so that if there's something abnormal that does occur, then you know when it happened and whether it's something that's persisting, and then something that you need to contact your primary care physician, your family doctor about. So usually when, you know, if someone asks me, should I be doing a breast exam? I usually say, yes, if it helps you feel reassured and to know what's normal for you. Doing it after your period is probably the best time, because any changes that are happening due to your period have all subsided. And to do it at the same time every month. So again, having that consistency. So if there are changes that are going on because of your menstrual cycle, at least you sort of eliminated that factor, because you're doing it every month at the same time, or every 2 months, or every 3 months, whatever you feel comfortable with. You know, in the shower is usually what we always, you know, hear about. Right. And that's your time that you can, you know, just know what's normal for yourself.
And for sure.
And things that you want to look out for are the things like new lumps at the breast, under the arm, skin changes. So is there something more red, and why is it red? Well, you know, did I hurt myself? Was there, you know, an injury that happened? And if there wasn't, then why is this area red? And then new nipple discharge as well. It's always important to follow up with. And that's usually the signs that you would want to pay attention to if you saw them.
Okay. And so let's say we do a breast exam at home and you find a lump. You think, yeah, like, you know, I feel like so many of us are like, do I call my doctor right away? Do I freak out and go like, I found a lump? Or would you advise like you wait a couple of days, see if it's still there, see if it stays the same, and then call? Like, what's the right thing to do?
You know, that's a great question. And I think what the right thing to do is what's right for you. You know, again, some women are, I know I know myself, if I had found a lump, I will go ahead and call my family doctor, knowing that it might take some time to get to my family doctor as well. And then that's the time that you can take to see, is this going away? Is this staying? What's happening to it? So I do believe in let's be proactive. If I don't need them and the lump goes away, that's fine. I can still get my family doctor to check it out. Others feel, you know, if they feel like, you know, I'm going to give it some time because that's what I feel comfortable with. I think trying not to ignore those signs, but seeking medical attention should be the first priority whenever you feel comfortable to do that. But I do advocate that if you do find a lump, it is important to seek that second opinion. Like, and that is somebody else examining you, and that's your family doctor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, unfortunately, if you don't have a family doctor, it is walk-in clinic. I think that is very important to get that second look, and then make sure that then the next steps are taken as well with your family doctor, which is investigations. You know, okay. The majority of the time, lumps in the breast are often non-cancerous. However, an exam alone can never be enough to say that it's not cancerous. I think an investigation like a mammogram, an ultrasound, it should be done irrespective of like age or family history or even these risk factors that we talked about. I think it's just so important to get that reassurance that it's not cancerous.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, and actually I just thought of this, but like, do women, so I know you said in Ontario, oh, anyone who's over 50 would go for a mammogram.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get a mammogram if you're younger than 50 because you want one?
Great question. Yeah.
I just thought, I'm like, what if I want one tomorrow? Like, can you call your family doctor up and say, hey, I want a mammogram?
So, you know, we have guidelines, and guidelines are based on long-term studies that looked at, you know, a population of women to see what was the benefit of screening. And I think it's really important to understand what is a screening tool. It is for someone who has no symptoms. So it is someone who does not have a new lump, does not have those skin changes, nipple changes, the things that we talked about. So if you are that individual who, you know, just like is under the age of 50 and says, you know what, I want to talk about a mammogram, then our Canadian Task Force for Preventative Healthcare does say women, you know, from age 40 to 50, they don't recommend a mammogram without any symptoms, but they do recommend you talking to your family doctor and talking about the pros and cons of having that imaging done. Because what they have found is that for women that say start mammograms at the age of 40, even without any symptoms, unfortunately, it did not help those women live longer. And unfortunately, it did add to more scans, which can have, you know, risks and benefits to it. It also introduced more findings. So with those scans, they might have picked up something that was not cancerous, which led to more tests, which led to more anxiety. So we know that tests can have their downsides, which are, you know, anxiety and then more tests that then reveal nothing of concern, but they always have to be weighed against the benefit. And here the benefit would be, you know, for that individual to have the mammogram to reassure themselves. But it's an important conversation to have with your family doctor to understand the pros and cons and where you land on that.
Okay. That's good to know. As you were talking, I'm like, hey, you know what? Like, can you get one if you want one? But you know, mm-hmm. We're different here. It's not like in the US who, if you have like the insurance and you just kind of pay to have it done, right? It's just so different here. So I'm like,
Absolutely. So I think they do put that, you know, this, it came out in 2018. They said, if you are, you know, 40 and between 40 and 50, and again, no symptoms, go have a chat with your family doctor. And, you know, I'm coming up to that age and I've had that chat with my family doctor. And then, you know, we talked about the pros and cons and then what we want to do next. So I think it's an important conversation to have. And then it'll also prompt, you know, an exam also, if you want, can you examine me? Let's make sure that I don't have any symptoms as well. So it's maybe a good appointment to make with your family doctor.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Which leads me then to my next question. Mm-hmm. As we know, like we can think about, I'm sure it feels like we all know someone in this category, unfortunately, but like, what would you say to people who say that some of us are too young for breast cancer? Because I feel like, you know, we were just talking about the mammogram thing. I think it can feel like if you're in your 30s, don't worry about it. You're too young for breast cancer, mm-hmm. when we know that's not always true. So I'm just curious, like, on your thoughts of, I guess, what would you say to people who are like, well, I'm just too young?
Yeah, you know, and that's a great question. And I think we've all been seeing a lot in, like, all us in the healthcare realm have been seeing more and more that younger people are getting cancers. And, you know, we think about even, I don't want to use like celebrities all the time, but when we think of like celebrities, like, who have been getting cancer at a younger age. So it's on our radar for sure. You know, when we look at the statistics, less than 10% of breast cancer in Canada are in women who are less than the age of 40. So that's an important fact as well. However, that concept of I'm too young to have cancer, I think should not, I think, unfortunately, in the business, not the business, but in the work that we're in, we all have, you know, patients that are young and did have a cancer. And again, I think if you have a symptom, if you have a lump and you are under the age of 40, I think saying I'm too young to have cancer and then not seeking medical attention, I think that's, I don't think that would be the appropriate step for that person. And I'd worry that something could get missed because it has been in the past. So I think if you are symptomatic with a change, then I would say go to your family doctor, go to a medical professional and get that opinion, get that test, reassure yourselves that way. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, no one is too young to have cancer. And although it's not common, the risk is not zero, unfortunately.
For sure. Okay.
Not to scare everyone, but if you have a, you know, something that's changing, get that second opinion, get someone who's objective, get the test that you need to reassure yourself.
For sure. Okay. Yeah. My last question is, I'm actually doing a podcast tomorrow with someone who is a breast cancer patient, and mm-hmm. her and I are going to talk about Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And I think a lot of it is like this shiny pink ribbon on things, and you buy things and you're like, I support breast cancer.
Yeah.
Which it's not always that way. Mm-hmm. So I was just curious, what does breast cancer awareness mean to you?
That's a great question. You know, I think, you know, touching on the fundraising and maybe the promotion of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, it does raise a lot of money, and it does hopefully go to patients and help support, you know, them and research that will help improve treatment. And I think, unfortunately, all campaigns can have some negative connotations to it, for sure. I think for me, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, you know, as a medical oncologist that treats breast cancer, I feel like it's a month where I reflect on, you know, the team that I work with, the very supportive team that we have here, and then really reflect about my patients' journeys, like, you know, from, you know, curative cancer to, you know, unfortunately, later stage cancer, and really reflect on their journey, their courage, their resilience, their families, and really think about those people who are getting the help and benefit from these fundraising campaigns, and recognizing that it's an important month. I think also it's a great time, as, you know, someone again in the field, to think about all the unmet needs and all the important work that we need to be doing, and trying to increase our understanding through research of how we can help our patients, but also understanding how we can help our patients in clinic and getting them the help and support that they need, which is so different for every patient. So just taking that time to give them the help that they need, whether it be resources or medications or what have you, and just really understanding how can we do better for our patients.
Mm-hmm. And I think, like, for me too, it's always good to have these conversations, even like when I scroll on Instagram and you see, like, someone actually saw a reel today on Instagram where someone had like a breast pillow and she was doing like an exam on it. Like, those things are important, and it sucks that it's just 1 month, but it's so important because like, I feel like all month long you're seeing this over and over. And sometimes I know us as moms, we need to like have it drilled in our head to take care of yourself and check yourself and put your health first and yourself first, right? We're always our kids, our work. I'm sure you're probably my kids, my husband, my patients, my many, many patients. And then somewhere down the line, Nitty gets to eat and, you know, a breast exam or something. But like, so it's an important reminder that like, you are so important and you need to like put your health first.
That's and such a great point. Like, I think everybody is so busy, and especially like you mentioned, moms can definitely tend to put other people ahead of themselves. And I think, absolutely. It's a great time to check in with yourself. Think about your own health. Think about, am I up to date with my screening, no matter what age I am? Have I got my pap smear? When was the last time I did that? You know, how am I feeling overall? Is there anything that, you know, I need to check in with, you know, a healthcare professional about, or even someone who's helping me with my own supports and my own health, and also checking in with family. I usually, you know, take this time and make sure my mom's up to date and like make sure my aunt's up to date and like, hey, let's talk about our family history. Any news, any update, like things like that. So absolutely. I think it's when you see it all in media, it's a good way to help use that for yourself and making sure that you're checking in with yourself.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. This was so great. And I think it's just really helpful. I posted on Instagram that I was going to do this with, I didn't put your name, but I just put like a medical oncologist. Mm-hmm. And these were all the questions that were pouring out. Oh, so I know there's lots of people who were like, just need facts. You know, we don't need Google. We need facts.
Yeah. And absolutely. I think, a great resource is the Canadian Cancer Society. And a lot of these questions, they have a nice, a page about what are risk factors, what is a mammogram, what is an ultrasound. And it's an excellent resource that's been reviewed. And it's based on evidence and science, and it's a great resource and a great, great NGO that's helping so many patients around the world, in Canada, actually. Yeah.
Well, awesome. Thank you so, 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 so much.
No problem. Linda. Thanks so much for inviting me. This was really, really great. You're doing a great job. Yeah. I like the podcast and I'm listening. You have a new fan. So
thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode, and we will talk to you soon. See ya.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Honest as a Mother podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. I'm really looking forward to hearing from you.